Jesus as the gate, the gate. Gates are pivotal objects. Not located far from here is Norris Dam. Many of you have been there and hiked around there. It's a beautiful place for sure. But there are floodgates there that the TVA will open up from time to time, and the waters will just flow through freely. That pivotal gate holds back tons and tons of water, and the flow of water would not be enough to create the megawatts of electricity that many in our area depend on if those gates were not there and if those gates were not opened and closed. Gates are pivotal objects. Gates on a dairy farm keep the cows in. Gates on a yard keep the dogs in. Little gates are latched to keep the parakeets in the cage. When I was growing up, my grandpa and grandma lived right next door to her sister for decades. They put up a gate in between their backyards so that they could easily get to each other's back door. The gate was a pivotal object, and it sent an important message to them. You are welcome to come on into the house and come and go as you please. So there was no lock on that gate. That gate was more than an object. It sent a pivotal message from one sister to another. And over the years, being at that gate myself proved to be a pivotal place for me to be. It told me that I was welcomed there as well. I knew there at the gate on both sides that life existed. I knew that I was loved there and that I was welcomed there. Some gates are so big, so heavy, and so locked up. When you stand before them, they tell you, don't even think about trying to come in or go out. You are not welcomed in, not the likes of you. Have you ever come up to a gate like that? As you stand at other gates, they're different. They invite you in. They become a place to meet a friend or a neighbor. Those gates are approachable. They're inviting. And usually they're unlocked. They say, I've been waiting just for you. I'm glad that you're here. Maybe at that kind of gate, you greet a friend or shake a hand, or maybe you hand off a baked pie. You share some good news about yourself in a place like that, at that kind of gate. At that kind of gate, you're not kept out. You're invited in. We meet Jesus at the gate, the kind where you are welcomed to come in, the one where he says, I've been waiting just for you. So take your Bibles and let's look at John chapter 10. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. It's a challenging story. I think it's a comforting story, but it's one that I believe we can understand that introduces Jesus to us. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Now, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved or kept safe. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly," or have life to the fullest. Here in this passage, we meet Jesus not only as the gate, but at the gate. We meet him almost as if he brings life to an inanimate object. The gate becomes a person, Jesus Christ himself. He says in verse 7 and verse 9, "I am the gate." Jesus is God in the flesh. And when we read those words coming from his mouth, "I am," I think it is rightly understood that Jesus is suggesting or saying, "I am, I am. I am God in the flesh." Jesus says, "I am the gate." Jesus is God in the flesh. I am. And as the gate, Jesus is showing us how it is that he gives life only as God can. Verse 10 takes us there to that life that Jesus gives. Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or have it abundantly. Jesus has life to give that is full and abundant. Another way of understanding it is that it is life that is given over and over and over again. That is the kind of life that God gives, that we can experience in the person of Jesus Christ. There were those who, rather than giving life, they were stealing life. They were killing life. They were destroying life. Now, how were they stealing and killing and destroying life in this passage? Well, to answer that, we need to know what happened earlier than chapter 10. And you can go back to chapter 9 and see that Jesus has had an interaction with a blind man. And Jesus has brought healing to the blind man. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time, were unhappy or disapproved of what had happened. And they confront the blind man after he had been healed. And the Pharisees challenge him and make suggestions to him. And they enter into somewhat of a debate, which makes it somewhat incredulous that this man that had been blind from birth is now seeing, and all that the leaders want to do is debate it. And so the blind man, having been challenged by the Pharisees, he says to them, "This is remarkable. You don't know where this man comes from, yet he has opened my eyes. If he were not from God, he could do nothing like this." And to him the Pharisees said, "You were steeped in sin at birth. That's why you were blind. Be gone. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out of the temple. The Pharisees had no life to give, no healing to give. When they threw out the healed man, they did what Jesus had said. They stole life. They killed it. They destroyed it. They excommunicated him. They slammed the gate shut and they threw on the lock. Jesus' response to the man is pivotal. It says in chapter 9 that when Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, Jesus found him. Now, sometimes we could read that part and just let it slip by. Jesus, the gate, went and found the man who had been locked out. When Jesus found him, Jesus said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the healed man said, "Well, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said this, "You have now seen him. In fact, I am speaking to you, and I am he." Then the man said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe." And just like that, the man who had been locked out was welcomed in. Jesus, the gate, went and found the man who had been locked out, opened his arms, and welcomed him in. We experience Jesus similarly today. It's not that many of us have been excommunicated from the church. And if you have been, don't tell me. Most of us don't have that experience. But maybe we feel like at times that we might as well have been excommunicated. But church is not the gate. Jesus is. Jesus is the gate. Sometimes situations and relationships seem to be sucking the life out of us, like the gates that leave us in shame because they're too big, too heavy, and too locked. But situations and relationships are not the gate. Jesus is. Jesus is the gate. And when you approach him with the belief and the faith that the blind man did, when that gate comes to you, when the gate comes to you and finds you and reveals himself to you, and you come to know Jesus as the gate, with belief and faith, you encounter Jesus. You meet God in the flesh, and he comes alive as the gate. And as the gate, we experience Jesus this way, with arms stretched open, welcoming you as you are, with love extended out to you and to me, moving us toward transformation. We experience Jesus purposing our lives, giving our lives purpose, giving us lives that are full and abundant, and giving us life over and over again and again. When I think back to my growing up years, when I think back to that gate that I would stand at time after time after time, and when I reflect as an older man now, the significance of that gate in that backyard between those two houses and the welcome that I felt there and the love that I felt there that saw me not for who I was, but for who I was becoming. And the life that was there, that I knew was there, between those two houses. It reminds me that Jesus as the gate is someone to be experienced. Not a rabbi that lived thousands and thousands of years ago, but as a man who was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day. As God in the flesh, victorious over death and the grave and sin. Victorious over those that would steal life and kill life and destroy life, like they tried to do to blind Bartimaeus. And we can experience and encounter that Jesus who is alive today, who welcomes us as we are, who loves us toward transformation because we don't stay the same as we've always been, and who gives us life over and over and over again when it feels like that people and situations are sucking the life out of us. Jesus is that gate. Meet Jesus at the gate. And might you receive him. And might you receive his welcome and his love and his life. Amen. Lord Jesus, today you have revealed yourself. Lord, in a way we're meeting you. Sometimes it feels like for the first time. We're being reintroduced to you, being reminded, Jesus, of who you are. Not just who you are, who you were in an old story, but Lord, who you are in our experience today. Might we feel your arms welcoming us, your love transforming us, and your life filling us over and over again. This day, Lord, we need to experience you as the gate. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.